The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And on the side, it says Daddy Daycare. So all the time when you walk in, it's just dads. There's nothing, there's nobody else.
All with a Guinness in front of them?
Yeah, they got pints with bags and just sitting on the floor.
And you know what? Do you find this? I mean, the mums or the girlfriends, the wives are more than happy for you to be in there, in my experience, because I am such a miserable shopping companion. Like, I'm awful and she hates it and we get in a scrap every time because I'm so miserable. So she's happy to say, yeah, just you go in there. You sit in there. I'll be back in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I treat my shopping like lovemaking. Quick
and dirty.
Direct and out.
And it never comes. That's why you're still waiting.
Still waiting.
Yeah.
Speaking about Christmas gifts, Charms. Our friends over at Lakeside Boys. Pacific's supporter group sent us 6 scarves.
Amazing.
So thank you, Lakeside Boys. We
thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
And really they, nice.
They're great looking scarves too, aren't they?
Very Canadian.
Really cool.
So cool.
That's so nice. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a message, by the way. We also got a Christmas message to celebrate from one of our good friends that we met out when we were in Calgary. Last Ooh. Year. I'll play it for us if everyone would like to hear it.
Please.
We'll get it going there. Just where is it? Oh, there you go.
Hey there. Merry Christmas. It's me, Calgary Hobo. That's right. I got sober 30 days. And I'm here to introduce Footy Prime's year-end Quizmas Spectacular. You know, I couldn't have done it without the 6 of these guys, Amy, James, Craig, Jimmy, Wonger, and that other guy.
Why don't you try one of these, young man?
What is it?
It's a sherry.
Well, I probably shouldn't.
Let's just try a little sip.
Well, I guess I could have one.
Oh my God. Oh, are you going to eat that? Please. Oh, my plan worked perfectly. Please enjoy this special Footy Prime special. Merry Christmas to all. And to all a good night.
Nigel, he's back and he's causing shit. After a year of sobriety, Calgary Hobo, within one opening, has been derailed. His sobriety derailed by Nigel Nigelson.
Is that who offered the sherry?
Yeah.
I don't know. That predates Dubs in the pod.
Yeah, it does, Nigel Nigelson.
Oh, Nigel Nigelson was a huge part of it.
Craig hated him.
So, no one hated him more than Dickio.
No, Dickio loved him.
Did he?
Yeah. Dickio wanted to go on an all-inclusive with Nigel.
Nigel loved the game of football. And there's young men in those short shorts. Oh, nostalgia.
Great start.
As we approach number 1,000, it's good to kind of look back on those simpler times of the podcast. When Nigel was offending everyone, we would get emails and comments. I think he went too far this week. Yeah. I think he went too far with Nigel. I don't like Nigel. We had a number of complaints, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did.
We had to retire Nigel.
Halcyon days.
I'm surprised.
Oh, boy. Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's Christmas Eve here on Footy Prime. And wherever you are, probably. Unless you're listening to this on Christmas Day, in which case you really got to get a life. today's our Christmas quiz. It's our Christmas quiz edition. We have no idea how it's going to go. We have a question from our supporters group, by the way, as well. We all have a question each here. Who's keeping score here? Can someone tally the scores?
I can keep score. Everybody was leaping to do it. It's like everyone stepped forward.
I was looking at you, Dubs.
Jimmy and Craig. Wow.
Don't have a pen.
So eager. Well, I've got a pen. All right, honestly, so, you'd be the last person that I would ask for a pen if I needed one, like out in the real world, Jimmy. I would not ask you for a pen.
Yeah, there's no. When was the last time you held a pen, Jimmy?
A long time ago.
Do you find these days when I'm actually writing, my penmanship, not that it was ever much good, but it is awful.
Same.
I can't barely write my name without scratching it everywhere. It's a dying art, isn't it? Good penmanship.
I still do write a lot, though, because I feel like when I'm doing prep for games and other things where I need to get my thoughts down on paper, like the act of writing, even if my penmanship has turned kind of shitty, the act of doing it is helpful.
It's huge, isn't it? It kind of imprints in your brain when you actually write it. I've got notepads up the wazoo, and I can't read them afterwards. That's the problem, because it's such bad penmanship, but I do use them a lot.
Pen personship.
Sorry.
It's true. 2020,
almost 2026, we should retire penmanship, pen personship. Mm-hmm. PPS.
Manhole?
Yeah, did you change that?
Mm. Well, it's my favorite bar downtown Toronto. So
that's where we met.
That's right. Straight night at the Manhole.
Let's get away from perceived woke culture. I don't think that will go very well. one of the last shows of the year. Let's not go there. Okay. Anyway, it's our Christmas quiz edition. Okay. Each have a question. We'll delegate points. And who's the defending champion? Do you remember? No one remembers, do they?
I think it was Jimmy.
Was it really?
It was Jimmy a couple years ago. Yeah.
I just didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
No. I remember.
You would have brought it up instantly.
Jimmy created his own trophy.
Yeah. The Peace Prize.
Yeah.
The Manhole.
There it is. It's a white ball. There it is, yeah. Craig.
Stick that in your mouth.
What?
5 points for Craig.
Yep, 5 points straight away. All right, let's start this thing off, shall we? Wonga, how about you start with your question?
All right. A lot of crazy things happened this year, but I wanted to know what was the most absurd, stupidest story of the year from fired managers, FIFA Peace Prizes, player moves, or actions. What was the one that you went, wow, that is just so stupid? Or absurd that it just never left your brain. So I'm going to let Sharm start because I know we probably thought about this a lot and then it might spur on our other ideas.
Are you suggesting that I prepared for a show?
I love when you prepare. Wow. Yes. You're the Boy Scout. You're our Boy Scout.
Dib, 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 dub, dub, dub.
Were you in it?
Yeah. You kidding me? I love the Boy Scouts and the Cubs.
Of course you did. England.
Kidding me? Don't mock me.
I was a Girl Guide.
See?
That explains a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. That also explains a lot. Write things down.
You weren't, really. All right. Wonga, for me, it's absurd, but absurd in an amazing way, it turns out. But that would be that event we saw in Ottawa a month or so ago and the Canadian Premier League final. And the ice cold kick, that absurdity of that goal in those conditions and that event, it was so great and so bad on so many different levels. It kind of encapsulated, I think, Canadian soccer to a T. What a great moment that was, though, because it went viral. Over a billion impressions around the world. People like iShow Speeds talking about it. We're seeing all these heavy hitters in the sports media world around the globe talking about the CPL, which is fantastic. And it's not something we want to see every year because you want to see proper football in that match. But once in a while, it's kind of cool. And to see that goal and to score that goal in any condition would be incredible. But in those conditions, made it the most absurd of all absurdities this year for me. So I'm taking that.
I like that answer. And even more, having Nate Ingham on the show the day after and him telling us why they had to go ahead with the actual match when player safety, all of these concerns were out there. And he's like, no, they're tearing the field up. They're starting
construction next day.
Yes.
They were told the trucks are arriving at 9 a.m. tomorrow. You get this game in one way or the other. That's why you saw Canadian. Maybe the shovel himself shoveling the lines, right? Brilliant. What a moment.
Yes. I like that answer. Okay, Sharms. I don't know what I'm giving you.
After the fact, no? Is that what you decided? That 10 points for the best answer and five points for the second best answer?
Yeah, and then zeros.
Okay. That's right. Big goose eggs.
Well, W, while you're talking, let's do it.
Yeah, since I usually am talking.
Oh, jeez.
Well, when you said absurd, my mind immediately went to the FIFA Peace Prize. But I felt like that was too obvious. So I backed it up, and I feel like what set the table for that ridiculous display of fawning over Trump by Infantino was the Club World Cup. And as much as I ended up adoring the Club World Cup as a format, as the theater, the spectacle, the moment of absurdity for me, because the whole thing, including like the intros, which was very wrestling, it was very WWE, the whole thing was ostentatious and a little bit crude, right?
Austin 316 tages.
Yeah. Can you smell what Infantino's cooking? Something.
Steve Austin.
I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know wrestling. So
that's the one guy I know. That's good.
So the singular moment of absurdity was when Trump handed over the trophy to Reese James. And then Cole Palmer looked at Trump. Reese James looked at him before he lifted the trophy. And he said, "Are you going to leave now?" And he stayed there. And then to kind of double down on the absurd is that they photoshopped Trump out of their championship photo. And to me, that just summed up where we are now in terms of football, where it's about the bottom line. It's about the commercialization of our sport. It's about how much money we can milk from our beautiful game.
Everybody, join the club. It's the Club World Cup on Footy Prime.
It was also a little earner for us finally as well.
Thank you very much, Club World Cup. Great answer. I like that. I like it was a throwback too. Throwback to the summer. There was no recency bias. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Kregger, we're going across the top.
Going across. Okay. I would say craziest would be absurd would be Spurs. Spurs winning the Europa League, first trophy of 17 years, and yet they nearly get relegated and finish, 17th? Absolute.
Oops.
Like an unbelievable. Ange finally got his high pressing right in the final and wins the European trophy. How crazy is that?
That's a good one. I like that. That is, if you think about it, and those of us that have followed English football for so many years, that is ludicrous to see Spurs finally win it.
And then fire Ange.
Yeah. Fire Ange. Right. It just fit, right?
Ange's, I'm just going back. Ange's like been landing pretty much on his feet like a cat every single time, though, hasn't he? Probably a great payout and getting fired and then just like, hey, I'm up next. I'm on that. We always talk about it, the carousel, merry-go-round. He's on it, eh? Oh. What a.
Mm-hmm. For now.
Yeah.
Is he the Prem's Garfield?
Him and that other redheaded guy.
I think he's like this generation's like Sam Allardyce type of figure that he always gets a job somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's got to get a couple more to really become Big Sam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's on the way, right, Craig? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what you got?
Well, it's hard to follow because with Sharms talking about Ottawa, I would have went there. And that was a crazy story. I wanted to go to the FIFA World Cup draw because I thought it was an absolute shit show. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go with my beloved Nottingham Forest and talking about Ange, who had high expectations, who is very good friends with the owner of Nottingham Forest. They met numerous times before he got the job. He was going to be the savior. He came in. Everybody thought, here we go. We're going to win a European Cup. And 38 days later, the man was fired after 8 games. Absolute shit show. And that club's now been through, 3 managers in the year. And we're still at the bottom of the table. So that's my ridiculousness there and stupidity at a club.
Poor Ange.
The absurdity of modern football.
Yeah.
Of any kind of leash for any manager to try and cement his ideas. Thank God Wilfred Nancy won this past week, by the way.
Oh, my God. He was...
Christ. Putting the pressure, wasn't he?
On his way out, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
If he just goes out winning the rest of the year, like, just has a great season now, all those naysayers will have to, like, eat crow, right? Like, that's what it's called? Eating crow?
Yeah. Yes, that would happen if he wins every game for the rest of the season.
Well, he could, though. You guys always talk about the Scottish League being non-competitive.
I think the last 10 managers, their winning percentage was 75% or something like that. Usually you go to Celtic to get a move because you do so well.
But in previous years, Rangers has been the major threat to the Celtic's dominance. This year, it's Hearts. I think it's 6 points, but I think they have got a game in hand. So I still think Celtic will find a way in the end, and hopefully they do. I want to see Hearts win it. Let's be honest; it'd be amazing. Just finally a different team. But I also don't want to see Wilfred Nancy get canned for no reason. So
torn.
Yay, see. Step up to the microphone.
Listen, speaking of the Scottish Premier League, obviously, I mean, there were so many big, ridiculous moments throughout the year. But I would have to go back to, as an animal lover, back in February with Dundee and Aberdeen facing off against one another, when that beautiful golden retriever, Semeris, ran across the field and ran straight to Stuart Armstrong, the midfielder for Aberdeen, and he just they embraced one another, and then he walked him off the field, took him home, and now they're best of friends and living together. That, to me, was the most ridiculous moment of 2025.
JC, did you Google most ridiculous moment of 2023?
No, I made it up.
Oh, did you? It's a bullshit.
Yeah, this is what I would have liked to. 100%, I made it up.
JC wins.
You can imagine what it'd be like if they did. You know,
Stuart Armstrong out of nowhere. I love the Armstrong reference.
Just grabbed him in love, and now they're, you know, they're 7 kids.
They live together. There's half dog, half man people living in the basement.
Dog tours.
When do you have dog feet or human feet on dog legs?
Both. Ooh.
Yeah, some you can't. Yeah, some are half more human, some are more dog.
Some are teeth.
That's why they're fun. You don't know what you're getting.
Depends on the dominant and the recessive genes.
Dog nose. Yeah. 100 years now. Oh, dear God. He's got a tail. Recessive green gene.
I dated a woman like that once. She had a tail.
Oh, what a bitch.
Yeah.
That was a rough story, Jason.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm going to go with my own question. I do. It has to be Craig's and I, our visit to Washington, D.C., but it's a specific moment.
When did he
go in? Yeah. Okay. At the beginning of December.
When did the draw?
That's right. There's the FIFA draw in Washington, D.C. But the craziest story for me was it's at the end, and it's a specific moment where an ill-cued village people came running onto the stage. The music had already started because it was all lip-synced, except the lead singer. And they even brought in village people who were like not village people. It looked like they were the Calgary hobo. There was a guy, there wasn't a fat Asian guy back in the original village people. Well, there was one in this one, and he couldn't clap. He was mistimed. I think he would have been better like
village stragglers.
They were not great. And then the overweight lead singer came out in his police outfit, and all he caught was the back of everyone's heads leaving. So that was the most absurd moment. And Donald Trump was dancing his hand job dance. So all of that was perhaps for me the most absurd moment slash most ridiculous moment. So there's my answer.
Was that more ridiculous, Craig, than Wonga getting Rue Van Nistelrooy mixed up with Marcel Desailly?
The fat Asian guy on stage was actually Wonger.
Wonga seat conspicuously empty. Where's Wonga gone? Oh my!
Where's Wonga gone? Oh, there he is.
Costume change, impressive.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. All right, one round done, right?
Yeah, we're gonna have to tighten the shit up.
Yeah, it'll be a 2-hour show.
Okay, yeah. Wonger.
How about we go to the supporters question now?
No, but what about points?
Oh, yeah, points. Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right.
You determine it, Wonger. You can't give yourself a...
Sharm's an 8. Dubs for bringing me back to Club World Cup, 9. Kreger.
We'll go with the structure. What, Dubs? Okay, sure. We're going with the structure.
Yep.
What? I thought it best out of 10, right?
No, I think it was just 10 points for first place, 5 points for second place, and then goose eggs all around.
Oh, all right. Then
clearly you object.
No. I'm going with yours for the 10. Yes. And JC's for the made up 5.
Yay.
That's bullshit. It made me laugh, actually. I'm good.
And zeros all around. Yeah, that's why it gave me the laugh. Because then we got to talk about half dog babies. So.
Yeah. All right. Supporters question time, shall we?
Yep.
I put this out to them, and Kerry Ryan and company responded with a bunch of them, actually. But here's one. If Alfonso Davies is a Ferrari and Alistair Johnson is a rugged, winter-tired Honda Civic that will not quit, even in a Winnipeg 4-month winter, what vehicle best represents your work ethic on the pod and on the pitch? Let's start with JC.
I'm a skateboard. I'm a lot of fun some of the time, but it depends, because the older you get, the more dangerous you become. So watch out, because you don't want to be falling off that skateboard and breaking your
hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are dangerous.
Yeah.
In a Winnipeg winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dangerously at risk for osteoporosis. Yeah.
You may have osteoporosis.
I think I do.
Oh, God. Jimmy, what kind of vehicle are you?
A motorized lawnmower. One that you sit on.
Like the racing one.
Right along?
Just consistent.
Oh.
Well, you are consistent.
Not too much pace. Not too slow. Just enough. Just gets by. Does the job.
Can't jump, said Forrest.
There's got to be some jokes there somewhere, isn't there? They'll come to us later in the show. Jimmy has a lawnmower. Yep. Remember those racing lawnmowers in England? It's a big thing, right? Racing lawnmowers.
Yep.
You don't see them over here, do you? Lawnmower races.
No.
Why would you?
Well, it's pretty stupid in tennis, isn't it?
Pretty dumb.
All right. Craig.
I would say a Skoda.
What's a Skoda?
Yeah. Exactly. Fairly unknown.
Okay.
Yeah. Underrated.
Check.
And cheap.
Will work for beans.
Fairly reliable.
Mm-hmm. We used to whenever a Skoda would drive past us as a kid growing up, we'd just say Skoda. Anyone English who in the 80s know that it was really offensive to poor.
Was it a class thing? It was literally
No, the Skodas are known as the shittest vehicle on the road. And Craig is not the shittest vehicle on the road, just making that very clear. Despite what you may say there, but that's what it was considered. A bit like a Lada, wasn't it? The Skoda.
Yeah.
I think it's Czech. I think it's Czechoslovakia. Yeah.
And they were a piece of shit in the 80s, but they've got better.
But you were in your prime in the 80s. You're like you're the opposite.
Yeah.
You're a bizarro Skoda.
Dubs, what vehicle are you?
Oh, I grew up driving Jettas, And then the first real car I had was a Toyota Corolla. I had a shit beat Honda Civic in school that cost like $800. Then I could finally afford my own car and I bought a Honda Fit. And now we have a Toyota Prius. So I feel like those cars reflect my reliability and maybe my affordability. I'm available and I'm dependable. And also the hybrid reflects the fact that sometimes I host on broadcast or when you're missing. And sometimes I'm, you know, just a contributor. Yeah. So there we go.
I like that. That's good.
And great resale value.
Yeah,
I'll let JP know.
Yeah, I was about to say that. There's an announcement.
But it does take 2 hours to recharge a battery.
Yeah, it's true. Might take more around the holidays. That's right.
Wonga, aside from being the town bicycle, what are you?
Well, that's not nice. I'm a I'm one of those Volvo school buses. Because I have lots of room in the back. I have to wear many hats, so I have places to change. There's a wardrobe in there. Also, I have to carry you motherfuckers every fucking week to get you to the finish line. And people don't always know what I'm doing in the background.
That's good. No, you hit it. I mean, that's pretty much who you are. Yeah. Is it just me now?
Yeah.
I'm a Ford F-150 because I've got great towing power and I'm having to drag you fuckers around every day.
Oh, that's, I just said the same thing.
I know.
You guys are along the same wavelength.
I know. That's all I got, though.
All right. It's good.
Because I've got nothing in the back.
We know how you guys will tell you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true.
No trunk.
No trunk. There's no junk or trunk.
Oh, God.
On this English
man. Tony has the best of both worlds, doesn't she?
Just hangs on to hip bones.
Charms backs out of every room so we can have a little bit of lovemaking.
All right. That was the supporters question, which I thought went down question. Very well. Who wants to allocate points for this one? Because I've forgotten everything that everyone said, so I can't. Dubs, you allocate
points. I think top marks for Forrest, for Skoda.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Self-deprecation is good.
Yep. And second place points to
Skateboard JC was pretty good.
Yeah, agreed. JC. Yeah.
Can I just jump in? I gotta jump out off. I gotta get on my skateboard and ride into the sunset in about 5. Could I throw my question in?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Boy, 2025 sure served up a whole lot of shit sandwiches. Speaking of delicious food. What was the most memorable meal you ate while watching a match this year? Bonus points if you were intoxicated. Wonger.
Oh. Thanks, JC. I wasn't drunk, but I did remember eating. I came home from sleeping over at the partner's house, the gal pal. I came home and I had Graham's Pizza, which I'm very fortunate is a New York slice. And it is a tremendous, and it's a block and a half away from me. And I watched the 12:30 match on a Sunday. And it was so comfortable to lean into not only the match, but to tuck into the food while I was sitting there. So it was a spicy pepperoni. And a Hawaiian. People don't like Hawaiian. I do.
Disgusting.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Sounds pretty good. That sounds
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nice. But it's the best pizza slice, best New York pizza slice new in Toronto. And it's just around the corner on Edwin Street. So shout out to Graham's Pizza.
Graham's Pizza.
Yep.
Well, that's a shit. Very good. Amy.
I watched a bunch of football this year and ate a bunch of food. But I would say the most memorable one, and I also spent a lot of time at Dome Productions where all our TSN games were for NSL. And one time ordered in some food, Uber Eats it from, Fresh, which is a vegan place that I usually get food at when I'm traveling in Toronto. I know what I like and there's a bunch of stuff that I can order. And so I got that in and Kate McKenna, after we called the one game, we had it in the booth and they put on the next game for us. So I don't even remember who was playing. Let's say it was Calgary versus AFC Toronto. And we got to watch the next game of like a doubleheader in that wee booth eating our food, and it was just a good memory.
But it was delicious.
Vegan. It was very too. Good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tofu with some tofu in it.
Yeah, there's more to vegan fare than just the tofu, but sure.
Is there?
Broccoli. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, James?
You know, one of the very few joys in my life are Saturday mornings when I get to watch football pretty much undisturbed and cook myself a big fucking fry up. And I do it every Saturday when I can, which is most Saturdays. So there isn't one particular meal, but as a whole, my Saturday mornings, the cholesterol that gets poured through my veins is something to behold. I go full out, and I'm so happy with my full English watching the Prem on a Saturday morning with a cup of coffee. It just makes me, it's my happy place, and there's so few happy places in my life. I take that. It's a special moment in my week.
I like that.
That's good.
I agree. That's it's your church.
It's my church. Beautiful. It is my church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel the same.
Gregory?
I don't know if we were actually watching a game. There was sports on the TV, but I had to be the Christmas get together when I ordered an Irish stew. Oh,
that's right.
And it was so good. I said to the waitress, "You know what? That's so good. I could have it again." She said, "Oh yeah, it's really good." I go, "No, I'm going to have it again."
Bring me another round.
Yeah, it was two of them. She's it was like, outstanding.
Yeah, you almost went for three. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah. So good.
Be careful when you're ordering rounds with Craig. He'll order you an Irish stew instead of a pint.
Exactly. Sorry, I asked for a Guinness. An Irish stew. Just have it. Okay.
Jimmy?
It'd have to be a few weeks ago. I was a little bit hungover. I was watching a match on a Sunday morning. I was quite hungry. Went upstairs, went into the fridge, and there were some chicken wings. So I decided to heat them up, came down, ate chicken wings, enjoyed the match until about an hour and a half later. I shit through the eye of a needle. I didn't realize that they were in there for so long.
Oh, no.
I think Phoenix got them like 6 days earlier and they were still in the fridge.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 4 degrees or under, they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put the toilet paper in the freezer.
I'm doubting your food safety.
Like leaving your chilling on the stove all night, eh? Yeah.
Charmin's proper. You better be careful.
Nope, I can guarantee you.
I've ordered 12 of them already. I got to pick them up today.
This freaking guy. Been 2 weeks. Jimmy, get your order in soon, right? You know, delivery is the last week before Christmas. They're dodgy, right? Yesterday. Order comes in. Like, we can't deliver to Newmarket day before Boxing Day. So our delivery won't do it. So I leave a message for him telling him, you know, this. I get a call. So Shams, are you on your way to Newmarket? Like, I'm fucking not on my way to Newmarket. You can come down to Toronto yourself, you lazy bastard.
I had you ride along more.
Service is terrible at this bike. Oh,
nothing like leaving it to the last minute.
That's it.
Yeah. Can we wrap this up? I gotta go to the mall.
GC scores.
Oh, I think I gotta give Craig number one.
Yep.
Craig's bossing.
And then I was the heartwarmingness of Charms, but Jimmy's shitting through the needle.
Want to split the points?
Jimmy's yeah. Let's go 2.5 each.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
All right.
Not getting much love today.
No.
You got
defending
half.
Champ.
It's easy to win, Jimmy. It's easy to win, but it's hard to stay a champion, right?
You got a target in my back.
Well, Merry Christmas,
JC.
All.
Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, JC.
See you, mate.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That'd be JC's first Christmas as a dad, right? Or did she second. Arrive just
but first one where she's like just aware before. Of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, she's fun getting, these she's the getting fun a glockenspiel and a kitchen and a basketball net.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. See you.
Bye.
It's JC or Nigel or is it Gargi Hobo? That made me laugh.
Oh, the above. I know.
All right. Whose turn for a question? Craig.
Okay, we'll look forward to the next year. What would be considered a success for a Canadian men's national team at the World Cup? Mm-hmm. Going out in the group stage, 32, round of 16. What do you think, Dubs?
It's tough. I was looking at the different scenarios, and even if you assume, let's say, Italy makes it through that UEFA playoff, can Canada beat Italy? I think on their best day, potentially, but let's say they get 4 points. Let's say they draw, and then they beat Qatar, and then they, no, I think they would, I don't know if they're able to beat Switzerland. Let's say they get 4 points, right? They make it through as the best third place team. Then with the different scenarios, with the USA being in Group D and perhaps topping it, Canada as a third place team, they would then face the US in a round of 32. Can they beat the US? They absolutely can, as they're building over the course of the tournament. So I think that's doable. And I think that we wouldn't be satisfied with them only getting out of the group, but I think the chances are high because it's a 48-team tournament. I think it would be to beat whoever they end up facing, but a likely scenario might be the US in a round of 32. So I think it would be winning there and making it to the round of 16. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Charms?
Yeah, that's a, I think, because the States is the outlier there, isn't it? If it was any other team that you meet in the round of 32, you'd almost accept, okay, we lose that game, we still got out of the group. You know, and, yeah, and that's a huge thing for Canada. And that's what Jesse Marsh says, get out of the group. But to lose to the States, even if the States are really good by then, it'd be painful just because it's the States.
Yeah, it would hurt.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying here, but just to play devil's advocate here, I'm still going to side with just getting out of the group. That means you won a first World Cup game ever. Right. That's the big step forward. Let's realize, you know, who we are at the moment. We're still in this building phase for Canada. I think getting out of the group would be monumental for this country. And hopefully it wasn't the States we played in the next round. But you're right. I mean, so much depends on the scenarios, right? And who squeaks through elsewhere. And, you know, you could play a really good team in that match, or a very bang average team in that match. And then, yeah. But yeah, I'm saying get out of the group.
You set the bar pretty low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They haven't won a game yet, the World Cup ever.
Yep.
Hey, history doesn't mean nothing. Jimmy, what do you think about success?
You were terrified of playing Curacao 2 years ago. Yeah. Jesus.
Hey,
Krakow, aren't they?
Yeah, Krakow. Yeah.
Krakow, Charms.
Krakow, okay. Sorry.
Look, I think success for me for this World Cup is getting a win and getting out of the group. I think that will be monumental for this Canadian program. I think it's never been done before. It's what everybody's hoping for, wishing for. And then, you know, let the cards play out after that. But I think first and foremost, get your first World Cup win and get out of the group. That'd be huge for Canada.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Wonger?
I'm already disappointed. I'm going to be so upset when they lose. It doesn't matter when. So if they get out of the group, great. What a success looks like? I think success looks like a loss, but a close loss to lose out. That's what I think. I think that if they play well in their group competitively, my bar is so low. I'm always going to be depressed when they lose. You know, it's weird entering a tournament. And I say this is, it's weird entering a tournament cheering for a team that pretty much has no chance to win the World Cup, right? Can we all agree with that? So no. I don't know, man. It's a weird feeling to sit there and go, hey, I'm cheering. You know, like I'm hopeful all the time. I'm a hopeful fan. So I will be, I guess I have to be with Sharms and Jimmy. Getting out of the group would be a success. But even playing well in those, you know, how good is Qatar? I don't know. Let's see how good Qatar is. They made it to the World Cup.
Well, you sound like an England fan right now.
I haven't.
You're fearing the loss and dismissing the wins.
How is losing success?
I don't understand.
Because I'll spin it as a success that we were there, that we get a participation, the body break, little participation.
So you have no expectations whatsoever.
We didn't even have to qualify to get there.
Yeah. There you go. You got a World Cup.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have. No, I'm kidding. It's weird entering a tournament. And I say this with all due respect, we don't have a chance to win. And it's weird thinking, oh, we're going to lose a tournament and not be in. So it's a weird feeling. It's kind of I don't know why I think this way.
Eight teams have only ever won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right. So whether it's a 32-team World Cup or a 48-team World Cup, a lot of those countries, the majority of those countries are going into it.
I get it, Dubs. I watched the World Cup, but I've never had a team. So I've never cheered. Pardon me.
Sorry to interrupt, but think about Morocco last time out, right? Morocco were an incredible story at that World Cup. Didn't win it. We're never going to win it. But what a story they became.
Yep.
Could Canada be a Morocco?
No.
They couldn't. Why?
Because they're not good enough.
But no one thought Morocco was either before the World Cup last time.
I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't think they were good enough. So
we're arguing.
What I know about
his answer here.
What I know about football, that we are too inconsistent. We don't win the games we should. We showed it in the Gold Cup. We are a good team. We can compete with everyone, but it's our consistency across the board. If you want to be a top eight, and maybe other teams feel this way too, other countries where they're like, oh, well, we don't have a chance. I'm going to be disappointed. So anything I get of positive is great for me. Like I don't expect much other than, hey, let's do our best out there. It feels like, especially with 48 teams now, there is a full participation. Sorry to bring everyone down, but this
Seriously.
Is just what I'm doing.
Your Christmas glass, your Christmas goblet is fucking half empty.
You're just protecting yourself is what you're doing.
No, I'm not. No,
what's the point? I don't care.
It's right. Weird. It's weird. It's almost like, you know, someone has to play their personal best. Like if you're comparing it to track and field or something, they have to do their personal best every single time. And it's almost impossible. That's all.
No, but to get 4 points, they don't need to do that. So.
I'm happy. I'd be happy if they got 4 points. How about that?
I tell you what, Craig, Wunga better not win this round.
I know, he can't. Don't reward that type of sentiment. What do you think, Forrest?
That was terrible.
I think you guys are fucked. I think you're very Canadian and just underrating our team. Honestly, this is tournament football. There's 48 teams. You look back in history, you look at the Euros back in the 2004 when Greece surprised Morocco, we talked about.
Yeah,
Korea,
who's fucked? I'm fucked. Third? You said you guys are fucked.
I think he was mostly referring to you.
But I don't think this is a successful tournament unless Canada gets to the round of 16. For me. And I think the players believe they can get there.
And they're not that
inconsistent. They can compete with just about any other. We've seen them compete with just about anybody. And they played well. Isn't good enough. They're going to have to win games.
Yeah.
So in the World Cup, they played well against Belgium, didn't pull off the win, played well in the first half an hour against Croatia, and then got shellacked. But I think they compete with everybody. And that experience from the last World Cup, I hold these guys in pretty high regard. And I think they need to prove that they can get to the round of 16.
Yeah, but it's not, the question wasn't how far can they get. It's like, what is considered a success? I think there's a fine line between those two things, right? Like if they crash out in the last 32 to, I can't think of the scenario. Say it's not the States. Say it's in England. Is it England? Can England? I think they can actually play England in the round of 32, can't they? Potentially.
I'm not sure.
But say it's in England and they lose to England in the round of 32. Is that still considered a success to you?
I think they got to get to 16.
Okay.
And the group stage is really important. I mean, with the potential of winning the group, they would stay in Vancouver for the round of 32. And if they won that, they'd be in Vancouver again. So that's kind of the carrot, is to try to win the group. And I think they're capable.
Yeah. Okay. So you,
I'd be happy with that.
16s.
Plunger, be quiet.
No, you would you ever?
You shat all over this question. You can't pipe up again.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Forrest. Right, top marks to whom?
Myself.
You cannot do that.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
You can't give yourself
I don't want to give you top marks for shit answers.
But I said the same answer. Thing as you.
Well, you kind of went wishy-washy. And, you know, but I'll still give you 10 points, Dubs.
Oh, my God.
You were kind of wishy-washy. You know, the states hole. You threw the states. You know.
It was wishy-washy. Okay, who gets second place?
Jimmy.
I got the same as me.
Well, Jimmy hasn't got any points yet. I felt bad.
He actually had 2.5. Yeah.
Oh, with now Sharms. He's got 5.5.
It's Wonger who's got no points, but he doesn't deserve a thing for that answer.
Minus points, really, for Wonger, don't you think?
Seriously, I know.
You're a mean one, Mr. Wonger.
Craig, I award you no points, and everyone is now stupider for having listened to you.
Hey, Craig, it's your question. Do you agree that Wonger should get minus 10 for that?
What, for being such a sourpuss?
Yeah.
Yes.
Minus 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Wonger, you're an integer.
Historical. I'm historical. Getting negative points on our Christmas.
All right. All right, who's up? Jimmy's question?
Yeah. Okay, we all have different teams that we support. If Santa could bring you a player or a manager to improve your team, who would it be? Hmm. Go on, Dubs.
Yes. Erling Haaland for Canada. Boom.
Oh, okay. In Canada, are you? Nice.
Short and sweet.
Well, that solves the who's playing with John David question, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
How many goals do you think score with this squad?
Any?
Oh, so they played 14 games this year. I think he'd have 20 goals.
He might.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He had about that four. What did he get for Norway in the end?
I think 17.
Was it 17? Mm. Got 5 in one game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine someone of that ilk playing for Canada up front? Jesus. It would be a game changer. Now we're talking quarterfinals, Craig.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Right?
You think if you had a striker like that, we would be heading to the quarterfinals?
Hmm. Yes.
With that squad?
Yes. Because then you have a really balanced, deep squad, and then you have a game breaker.
Mm-hmm. Who's getting the ball to him, though? He does need service.
It's true. I think we have service.
Sure.
From the wings, we do. Through the middle? I guess John Davis sits a lot deeper, wouldn't he? He'd be much deeper.
Yes.
Oh,
how about play, that why he,
so we're yeah. saying if we had a world-class striker, we would be an unbelievable national team. We would go very far in a World Cup. That's not
you
bad.
Tell us, Jimmy, what do you think?
No, I agree. I think if we had someone that could get 14, 18, 20 goals, 100%. I think the squad enough is solid.
That is the position, though, isn't it?
Really? I think that's what we're missing, aren't we?
Any team in the world, I mean, ask the footballers, Dubs, Craig, I mean, out of any position in the world, if you can get a truly world-class striker, that's more important than getting a truly world-class centre-back, a truly world-class midfielder. Would you say it's the striker, being that it's the hardest thing to do is score goals?
I think overall, that would be correct. But you can also look back, I mean, look at Van Dijk when he went to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that was a game changer for that club. It went from giving games away for several years to winning trophies because of the center back. But generally speaking, I would say, yeah, the striker.
What about our goalkeeping? Is our goalkeeping of a high enough quality to get us to the quarterfinals? To get us to the round of 16?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Emi Martinez, that save, you know, that critical one that he made on Mbappe, right?
Exactly.
I think a guy like Max Kripo has proven that he can do that. And I think Dane's club form has shown that he's onto something, that he's on the ascent, but maybe not for Canada necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Still very confident individual.
With Haaland, up top, maybe you don't need to have that world-class goalkeeper. You just outscore teams.
I'll just give myself the 10 points right out of the gate, Jimmy.
That was a pretty good answer.
It was very good, actually.
Thank you.
Go on, Charms.
Okay, with Liverpool then, I'd love to go Jurgen Klopp, but no, we won't go there. They need a centre-back right now.
Yeah, they do.
I know Isak's out for maybe only 2 months is what Slot says.
Oh, but they need a broken fibula, right?
Yeah, an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Gabriel from Arsenal. If you stick him in that Liverpool team, that's a game changer. You know, Van Dijk's getting a little bit older. Gabriel's 26, 27. He's the heir apparent. He's captained Arsenal. He's the heir apparent to Van Dijk. Plus, right now, you just get rid of Kanate, right? And you stick him in there. And I think that changes that team a lot because right now they're giving up goals. Yeah. They just cannot keep a lead this season. So I'll go Gabriel.
Do you think there's any chance that Gehi finally comes over?
I'd love to him, and he's brilliant. He'd make a big difference to that team. But he's not Gabriel.
Right.
I don't think. And let's not get into lefties and righties right now. This is just, you know, for the sake of not getting too deep in the analysis here. But yeah, all right.
We're also at 50 minutes.
Yes, we're also at 50 minutes. Yeah.
Come on, Stacks.
I would say Mbappe for Canada. I think if we had him, it would be the fastest team, potentially, that the World Cup has ever seen.
But Craig, could you imagine Jesse Marsh dealing with Mbappe's bullshit? Guy doesn't track back, doesn't defend, doesn't care.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No.
No, right. the guy's lights out.
So, but the left-hand side was so strong. Is he playing centrally?
Yeah. Playing right down the heart.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe Forrest is saying Mbappe for Canada and you're trying to find things wrong with that.
I know.
Yeah. Like, hang on a minute.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I thought it was a super sub.
We have some strength in the left, right? So who's out, you know? Like Mbappe and Fonzie down the left. Think about that, though. Yeah. If you put Fonzie left back and Mbappe on the left-hand side, that's pretty juicy.
Not many right backs want to play against them.
Right. No. Do we go to Wong or Jimmy, or do we skip Wong or this?
Hey,
I was actually thinking about that.
I've been thinking about this question.
Go on.
Back 5-6 years ago when we started this, I didn't have a Prem team and it became the Brentford Bees. And Thomas Frank was doing great things for Brentford. They were singing Hey Jude at the end of these matches. What I think they need to do is bring Thomas Frank back, but even more, Ivan Tony comes back from Saudi Arabia and gets his gambling all together. Go back, because they need to move up a few rungs to get into Europe. So there's my Christmas wish. Thomas Frank comes back, Ivan Tony comes back from Saudi Arabia and starts gambling again.
It's actually not a bad answer, but sadly you've removed yourself from the conversation.
Yeah, that's right. You're no longer in contention.
I'll see you guys later.
Okay, right, Jimmy. Points.
Oh, Jimmy's, yeah. Jimmy, what's your answer?
I think I would take Harry Kane and put him in that Forest squad. Mm. He's on fire at the moment, the amount of goals that he's scoring. Although I do have a new favorite player, Leonard Carl, the young 17-year-old at Bayern Munich. I was always picturing him in the Canadian national team, how good he would be. Just that little playmaker.
Yeah, that's what they need.
I think we need.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, points.
10 for me.
No. Nope. Can't do that.
Dubs, you can have the 10.
Yes. And second place, 5 goes to?
I'll give 5 to Charms.
All right.
Yeah. That was a good answer.
Nice.
All right. Is it my turn? Just my question left?
Yeah. I mine as well, but I feel like mine and Wong's is, even though mine's.
Oh, sorry, yeah. We haven't asked you this,
like, biggest story of the year. It really resembles Wong's, where we kind of did like a look at 2025, so we can skip it.
No, that's a good go very quickly around the table. I think we should do that for yours. Mm. It's a good question. Yeah, yeah. Just let's not get into too much of a conversation for ours, mine or yours, because we're running out of time here.
Okay, so very quickly, 2025 was a busy year for football on the world stage as well as at home. What was the biggest story of the year and why? Actually, let's not do why, just what was the biggest story of the year for you, Wonger?
Gianni Infantino capitulating to the U.S.
Okay.
Crystal Palace winning their first trophy in 119-year history.
Nice one. I forgot about that.
Nice. Jimmy?
Hearts being at the top of the Scottish Premier League, which we haven't seen in a long, long time. If they go on to win, I think be the first team outside of Celtic Rangers since 86 to win the league.
Ferguson's Aberdeen, right?
Yeah.
40 years. Wow.
Mm. So you've not seen someone sitting on top of the table in the Scottish Premier League.
Go Hearts. Other than that.
Shamby?
It's Vancouver Whitecaps, isn't it? Three finals. Came very so good. Close. Brought Thomas Muller over to these shores. We never thought we'd see that on Vancouver. Mm. And man, the content it gave Footy Prime, that alone makes it the biggest story for us.
Thank you, Acer Raymond.
Yes.
And a Canadian team flexing their muscle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
Love that.
Three finals. It's amazing.
Big flex.
For me, it was the NSL kicking off.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Great one.
Easy answer. Great one, too. So for those, I think Sharm's top marks and
gets in.
Wonger, second place.
2.5 I'm up to.
He's been forgiven. All right, my question. From the icicle kick to the World Cup draw to Diego Jota's tragic death to the Whitecaps season, give football a grade for 2025. Wonger.
It was a tough one because I was thinking overall how FIFA's acting, but MLS and Apple, there's so many things to consider. EPL this year is going to be tremendous because of the competitiveness of it compared to last year with Liverpool running away. So I'd say, look, football has never been better. I'd give it an A+ just for newsworthiness.
Hmm. Oh, Mr. Positive, all of a sudden.
What's that a word?
He's a sociopath.
I'm bipolar. We all know this, right?
Oh, sorry. Did you say me?
Yeah.
I'm going to say an A, just because obviously I love the game. There's so much football going on with the club. Club World Cup, the Premier League, the Canadian Premier League, MLS. I just think there's so much on right now. It's so competitive around the world, and I'm looking forward to the World Cup that's coming as well. So an A, just because there's so much football on right now.
More positivity. Okay. Dubsy. Yeah.
I'm going to go B+. I agree overwhelmingly. It's been a really exciting year. Lots on, but I do worry about the effects and like the player welfare, all of the matches, all of the fixtures. And to go back to my first point, just that it's the overt commercialization of the game. And I think it's benefiting the women's game, which is growing exponentially, growing here at home with our domestic pro league. It's fabulous to see. But I do think you have to take a look at how much football these players are actually playing. Did I give a grade? I did. Yeah. I started out with a grade, right?
B+.
B+. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your chili left on the stove.
Yeah. I'm going to have to throw it out, you guys. That chili gets an F.
You're not eating it. It's your family. So who cares?
No one will know.
So angry with myself. No, it's
a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'll be fine. It's veggie. You're fine.
No, guys, it was on the stove all night.
But it's veggie.
Oh, you're fine.
Just heat it up to a nice hot temperature. Mm-hmm. Not that I would do this ever at Shaman's Proper, by the way.
Don't eat the bar.
Don't eat the vegetarian pies at Shaman's.
I'll find out tomorrow, Shaman's.
Yeah, you're going to find Jimmy's shin through the needle again. Yeah. Craig, give us a grade.
I'll give it an A. I think with the anticipation of the World Cup coming up, and we saw some big moments in the year with talking about Palace, Spurs, PSG winning the Champions League. I thought it was pretty exciting overall. And yeah, I give it an A.
Okay. I'm going to give it like a, I'm going C minus. Yeah. I mean, listen, the Jota thing was a black cloud over the season, but listen, that's not football. That's separate. I understand that. But an oil state won the Champions League, right, with PSG. It's not great. And then just the way the draw was just so unsavory, unpalatable. Yeah. And the way it was so clearly obvious what FIFA's doing with the US and Trump specifically. I found it so cringeworthy. As great as it was and fun and great content, it was grotesque. And again, that shouldn't overshadow what was a good year on the pitch. Some great games.
But it did.
It did overshadow on the pitch. So, but I can't give myself points for this. Dubs, I liked yours, actually. This is pretty good. I'll give you 10.
Okay, thanks. I would have given you 10. Honestly, it was it was the right answer, I think.
What's your answer? C plus?
Second?
C minus.
C minus, yeah.
Jeez. It's almost a fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're at the draw. You guys were wined and dined at the draw. You loved it. It was amazing for you guys.
That's not, that wasn't the point. It was more just I wasn't gonna let that ruin what was a pretty sensational year. Club World Cup.
Rune.
And the four bottles of wine he was ordering.
I'll give Jimmy five.
That's eight bottles of wine.
He was being
positive.
Thank
you very much.
So as much as I was negative, Jimmy was focusing on what happened, I think, on the pitch. So that's fair enough. I'll give him five. There we go. Tally up the scores there, Dubs.
Okay, well, the winner is me.
Oh, look at that.
With 40 points.
You trust the math?
Well, got it on the back of an envelope here. I'm honest. Sharms, you're second with 17 and a half. No, sorry. Craig, you're second with 20. Sharms, third with 17 and a half. Jimmy, fourth with 12 and a half. And then GC was, I think, well on his way to a victory because he started strong. He had 10 points on two questions only.
Stories.
I know, but he sells it so well. And then Wonger, dead last, pulling up the rear.
I did it
back
again.
Back in the positives, though, which is good.
I did it again. Last place.
Even though your attitude is still overwhelmingly negative.
I know we were going to get to the awards as far as best guest of the year, but we'll do that on our New Year's show.
Sure. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Which will be, by the way, episode 1000.
Whether it is or not.
New Year's Eve. Yeah.
We'll
whether
it is or not. It is.
Exactly. On New Year's Eve. So we're going to have some
just trust us.
Some plans for that. Okay. So yeah, that's it. That's our show for this this Christmas. Great job. Well done, Dubs. Congratulations. A champion once again.
Thank you.
That was fun. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful Christmas, holiday season. And we'll speak to you. There'll be some best ofs coming up, I think, next little while.
Absolutely.
But then we'll be back on Monday, I believe, with a nice fresh pod. So until then, everyone, eat too much, drink too much, and try not to fight with your family.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a happy... Oh, no, it's not that.
May Santa be good to you. He certainly hasn't been to me.
Oh, God.
May he find your chimney.
Well, that would be a great
Well, that's another manhole conversation.